Episode 89.
Because I have some secret that other people don't know, and that's why I'm doing good. Well, once I got together with the shop owners, I found out, you know what? There's no secrets. It's all the same thing. And by the way, this guy has an answer to my problems that I didn't think I had an answer for.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Carm Capriotto here. Hello, and welcome to episode 89, brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards loyalty program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. Now meet Larry Moore from Larry's Auto Works in Mountain View, California. He operates his 45-year-old business with his wife, Lori, where they have 14 lifts, 15 bays, and 4.5 technicians. Larry is an ASE Master Tech, and Larry's Auto Works was a Motor Age Top Shop 3 years in a row. The business is located in Silicon Valley, and in fact, within blocks of Google headquarters. So, why listen? Learn about Larry's predictive maintenance program, discover the type of training his technicians prefer, uncover how mentoring has been a worthy program for him, and we've discussed that a lot on the podcast, treasure his marketing ideas, and learn about a new idea he's got to bring the public into his business. This is a wild, wild idea. And realize how a quick track dashboard brings focus to Larry's daily numbers. This episode is busting at the seams with great takeaways that you've come to expect and enjoy. Glad you could be here. Now get more details on Larry Moore in the show notes page. Now, here we go. A warm welcome to Larry Moore from Larry's Auto Works in Mountain View, California. Larry, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
I'm ready anytime.
I've done a little research, and you opened in 1972, and you said we started as a shop that serviced Volkswagens only, and then we expanded to several shops, and now the company's back under one roof. I also read that you have technicians that have specialties. Is that true?
That's true. I discovered early on that the most productive shops were specialty shops. So when we operate internally, we operate as specialty shops. We have guys focus on particular vehicles. We get a higher level of repairs. We're able to do more, and we're more productive at it. So we combined administration, but internally we still produce as specialists.
Excellent. What's one thing right now that has you focused?
Well, our focus for the last few years and continuing now is getting up over the hump, as I call it. We need to get up over a point where our output is above 45,000 a week. So that's our focus. And we have a tool for doing that. And that's where we're all focused.
And what kind of tool is it?
We use a tool called QuickTrack, which is something I developed along with Cecil Bullard years ago. And it works very well, and it helps us all stay on the same page.
So this is like a dashboard?
It is. It's exactly that. It's a dashboard. It's a game. It turns work into a game in that everybody, every time they do something, they get to score. And the score is a score for all of us.
What an excellent idea. And I have heard a lot of dashboards are being developed and are coming out for this exact reason.
Yeah, it's a great way because it really gets everybody on the same page, especially when it's in real time like ours is, because literally the second you finish a job, bang, you're on the board. So people love it.
So this is integrated into your shop management system?
It actually is an overlay. It isn't integrated. It's an overlay, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but yeah. We found that by having people actually do the inputs, they participate more fully.
I understand what you're saying. Larry, if you didn't need money, what would you be doing right now?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I enjoy business. I really enjoy marketing. I enjoy the challenges. I don't know how I'll retire because I like doing it. I would probably be spending more time on marketing and less time on working with my customers. Not because I don't like working with them, but it eats up time.
What's your favorite part of marketing?
I love testing. I love the act of trying out something and tracking it and seeing how it works. and then making adjustments from there to try to make it work better. It's a lot like race. I see marketing a lot like racing. You're out there to try to improve results, and you try stuff. If it works, great. If it doesn't, then you got to figure out what didn't work and try to make it work better.
All them years ago, and I think you say 1972 is when you started, what made you dip your toe into the world of being an entrepreneur?
I think I've always been kind of an entrepreneur, but in this case, I got into the business. The business got me. I didn't get into the business.
Okay.
It was kind of one of those things where I fell into the business, and then I went, oh, okay, I like this. Let's do this. I initially liked it because I got to have all kinds of cool tools. So, and then my wife reminded me that it was supposed to be a business, not a hobby.
Don't wives have a way of putting things in perspective?
Yeah. So I said, okay, I guess I better figure out how to make this thing make me money instead of just buy me a lot of tools. So,
hey, what do you need more of right now?
Oh, you know, I'm probably like a lot of other people. I could use a couple really good employees for our team. You know, that seems to be the biggest challenge right now is finding people who fit in, not just people who can do the work, but people who fit in with what we're doing.
Boy, you just said one of the biggest points in business today that has to do with culture. You bring in an individual that doesn't fit and you've kind of screwed up your business.
Yeah, you really have. It's actually worse. In many ways, it's worse than if you didn't have them.
Yeah. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Okay, I'm going to go back years ago. A man in the business who I respect a lot said, you know, the only reason to have a business is to buy the property. Because when you're done, you may not have a business, but you'll have the property.
What great advice. What great advice. Here's great news. There's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads. And on top of that, it lasts up to twice as long as previous designs. Sound too good to be true? Well, Wagner Brake did it. They designed their new Wagner OEX brake pads that stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. To prove it, they got Link Engineering, pretty much the industry standard on brake performance testing, and they got their proof. But Wagner needed more convincing. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other service professionals for their customers. Now, soon you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Get the full story. Learn about the science behind Wagner OEX and check coverage. Go to WagnerBrake.com. Larry, you've been in business a long time now, and you know, during all those years of business, you always have that quiet moment to yourself, and you wonder how well you did and how people are going to remember you. What's your legacy going to be?
Boy, and you want to get this in a few minutes, huh? That's a deep subject. You know, it has changed from time to time. Hopefully that I was a person who could look at what needed to be done and make the changes with the minimum amount of pain for everybody involved. I mean, I like to work in a lot of different avenues. I've worked for other businesses while I've owned my businesses. Uh-huh. I've owned several businesses while working in this business.
Yeah.
And what I've tried to pride myself on is that I look at what the best practices are for whatever it is I'm in and then try to go one step beyond that.
So you're saying that you've got a great systems approach to things.
Yeah, I'm a systems and processes guy for sure.
And did you ever go out and teach that?
I haven't. I did learn it. I learned it from Michael Gerber.
Ah.
Michael Gerber, I had the privilege of working with Michael Gerber back in the 80s. And he really beat into me, I guess I want to say. He really impressed me with the idea of how systems and processes can make everything work better and allow me to take my brain off of having to just get work done and can instead put my brain on what I need to do next. And he really did impress me with that.
Well, Michael Gerber wrote The E-Myth, and we did a show on that, a face-to-face video podcast on The E-Myth. So great that you brought that up. and that you actually worked with Michael Gerber. Wow. Good stuff. We may have to pick your brain in the future. If you could go back in time, Larry, and do one thing over in starting your business, what would it be?
You know, I don't know that I'd change anything, really.
Wow.
There's always things I could do better. There's always things I could have done sooner. But I'm just a believer that it's perfect the way it is, even though when I'm in the middle of it, I may not feel like it. But in the long run, it's always been perfect to get me where I got to go. So I really don't have something like that.
You know, as a process guy, don't you have that attitude, fix it before it breaks?
I like to make it so that it's not going to break, if possible.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And that's what we do with our customers, too. Our whole focus with our customers is what we call predictive maintenance.
Okay.
We try to keep them appraised of what's coming. And there's many reasons for that, not the least of which is that when I call them to tell them, by the way, you need your front brakes, I've already told them before they were going to need them. So this isn't new news, and they're just going to say, sure, do it. But our whole focus, both in the business and in the cars, is to approach it in such a way that we can, as way ahead of time as possible, know what's coming down the road. Get the uncertainty out of it.
And is that a process, a system, a strategy, a marketing approach? What is predictive maintenance?
It's really all of those things. It's an approach. It's the same thing that they use to keep airplanes in the air and UPS uses to keep its fleets. We do consistent test checking. Every time the vehicle comes in, we check the same things over and over and over, and we keep track of them, and we keep a log on it, and we give the customer a copy of that, and the techs use that to help know where to look and what to look for. If we've noticed a seepage on a visit, the next time we look to see if it's gone from a seepage to a leakage.
Right.
And if it's a leakage, it needs to be fixed.
So if a customer comes in for predictive maintenance, and say, for example, during that time it's an oil change, will you book the next oil change before they leave?
Yes, whenever possible. I would say 30% of our people, when they leave, have their next date already set up. The rest have a month. They don't have an exact date, but they have a month.
Is that based on routine maintenance, or is it based on the fact that you've seen brakes, for example, that will need to be done, and you schedule it?
Our general approach, and we modify it slightly for some customers, is that every car needs to be looked at twice a year, every 6 months or 6,000, whichever comes first. And we do that on every car. And on the cars that we use synthetic oil in, we'll only change the filter at 6,000. The oil's easily good for 12 if we keep the oil clean.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 months, 6,000, we want to see everybody twice a year. That's the generalized approach for some customers who travel more miles or who have a special case, we will modify that.
Do you use the time that you spend with your customers to talk about declined or deferred service that they said no to?
Always. When they come in the next time, we go down through the list that is on the work order and say, by the way, have you taken care of these tires that we told you last time needed to be done? And if not, then let's talk about doing that. Or how about, have you noticed your coolant's been going down because we noticed a little seepage last time in your cooling system? So yes, we try again to be predictive and to set them up for what's coming as much as possible.
Tell me about your callback.
Yes, well, we call them usually, if they're coming in, we send them an email or call them to make sure that they understand that they have an appointment on that date. And then when they come in, we tell them, we're going to call you by, and we give them a time. I'm going to call you by 11. Can I reach you at this number? Is this the number you'll be available at? And then we call them, and we make it a point to try to always call at the time we said or before, and we tell them, we're going to call you and tell you what we found on your car. So they're already expecting that call, to a point where we get people calling us a few minutes. If we miss it by a few minutes, they call and go, oh, you were supposed to call me at 10. Is there anything wrong? No, there's nothing wrong. It's fine. We just got a little behind. So.
Well, you have them trained.
We try.
Wow. Well, congratulations on being a top 10 auto repair shop in the nation from Motor Age for 3 years running. What years were those?
Oh, gosh. I think it was like 2006 to 2009, something like that. I forget. It was back in that time frame.
It takes a lot of work to put that proposal together, doesn't it? The application together?
Yeah, it's kind of fun, actually, though, because it makes you look at the business and say, so what did I really do here? So I enjoyed it. The process was a fun one.
Yeah, you learn from it. Isn't that a great, it's a great backstory, yeah. I'll tell you the truth. Is there anything right now that you would ask your number one supplier to do better for you?
You know, we're really happy. Our number one supplier right now is Worldpack. I don't know if I can say that or not,
yeah,
but it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
And they deliver to us five times a day, specifically mm-hmm. because we have asked, we've told them the most important thing to us is getting the part. We don't care. The price is not the issue. The quality is an issue. And we know you have a good quality part, but getting it when we need it is what's the most important. So we really are happy that they have upped the number of deliveries we get. And they do a very good job of getting parts to us, by and large.
Well, that's great. I mean, if they're your number one supplier, and I know you've got to be giving them some pretty big volume, it's great that they've responded to you in that way.
That's right. Yeah, we really appreciate that.
I believe you would agree that being a top tech is real hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers. There, you can get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. When online is your perfect way to learn, do it with Guru's 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of training course options. And with the Guru's on-the-go technology fleet, they bring the latest products and demos right to your shop. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards Loyalty Program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts' brands. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com and learn all about Garage Guru's training, support, and get in on the rewards. Let's talk about training. What's your training culture?
My guys have built into their pay that they need to do 12 hours of training every quarter to maintain their pay level. We give that to them when they come to work for us. It's theirs to lose. If they don't attend training, and we keep them appraised of what's out there and what training is available, and we pay for the training, but if they don't attend training, they're going to lose that out of their pay. And that amounts to $2 an hour.
How often have you had to do that?
Not very often. Usually if we tell people, by the way, do you remember that you're in danger of losing this? They decide that they really want to be in a class.
So nighttime, daytime, webinars, what's the favorite?
Well, the favorite tends to be weekends for my guys. They like to get immersed in the class. They like to go spend a Saturday or even a Saturday or Sunday if it's a big class and really get immersed in it. We just haven't seen any real popularity on the webcast yet. I think partly because my crew is probably a little older crew. It's not, they're not young people. Some of the young people, I think, are more oriented towards the webcast. And they don't like evenings. They want to go home.
Yeah.
They'd rather just take a Saturday or Sunday, you know, twice a month, go to a Saturday class and get it off the plate.
How many Saturday classes are offered in your area?
Well, if I were going to ask for something, it would be to have more classes available. We luckily, because we're in the San Francisco Bay Area, usually around the bay somewhere, there's something going on every month from one of the training companies. So we luckily have access to them. The favorite classes from my people tend to be ones offered by Worldpack or NAPA, some of the other bigger suppliers who bring in really top quality trainers to do the work.
Larry, have you ever created a mentorship program, brought on an apprentice in the business?
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. We've used that many times over the years. My current shop manager started out as what we call a management trainee. And we brought him in specifically with the job title of management trainee. And he literally started on the bottom, started driving, running customers, worked his way up through, learned parts, worked his way up through customer service. And in after a couple, 3 years, actually 3 years, I think it was, he actually became the manager.
What a great story. And has he done any mentoring throughout his career with you?
He's actually got a young guy right now he's working with.
You know, that's a hot story. We've been talking about it. In fact, we've done a video podcast on that. And you know, we were talking that if all 200 some thousand shops approximately in the U.S. brought on an apprentice, we could help start to solve our technician shortage issue.
It's actually true. The biggest problem with mentoring, I think that shops get frustrated, and I certainly have run into it. I had to go through 4 apprentices before I got one that stuck. And especially in the area of working on cars, you know, the last one I hired out of the junior college came out with top grades, put him to work. He did the usual. He broke cars because they can't train you that in school. And you don't learn things unless you break cars. But somebody has to pay for that. And that's me. And all I asked him was, please stay with me for 2 years so that you can break cars for a year and fix them the second year, and then you're going to be a good tech. And unfortunately, he got hired away by Tesla to go work on their production line. We're right in the middle of everything here, and they can go to work for big bucks working on a production line. And he admits he doesn't like it as well, but it's good money.
Yeah, well, somebody said to me, you've got to kiss a few frogs to find a prince.
That's true.
So you hire master techs only, or have you just grown great master techs?
No, we tend to want them to have, like even when they graduate from the local community college, they'll usually have their master tech or be ready to get their master tech. They don't maybe not have the experience, but they have all of the technical skills to be able to take the test and pass them.
Yeah.
If I can, my latest hire, actually one hire ago, was a master tech that we talked to and hired away from another shop. Because he liked the work conditions here better. That would be my first choice. The bad news about hiring master techs is sometimes it's harder for them to fit into the culture because they've already got a mindset. They've already worked at places that have been a certain way, and it's a little bit harder to sometimes get them to fit in.
Sure, I understand. You're a process guy. You told us earlier in the show. What's the latest and or maybe unique system that you've got going that's really helped improve productivity?
Well, I don't know that we're necessarily unique. I really try to steal the best from everybody.
That's good.
I don't necessarily try to make it up. If I hear about something or look at something and see that it's working better than what we've got, or it might work better, then I try to implement it. We're basically, right now, most of the stuff that we're doing is integrating more the electronic side of thing in terms of starting to do some process electronically that we used to do with paper. So we're seeing more of that. Although we haven't converted over completely yet because we still haven't found a full solution that works better than what we do with paper.
Are you doing the digital inspections with tablets?
We are not. And we're not doing them, not because the digital inspections aren't great. They're great. They're faster. The guys love them. But we still have to go from the digital inspection into an estimate for a customer. And it actually adds a step because our digital inspection is done on paper and automatically converts into a paper estimate. And what we have to do if we do it electronically is we have to print it out and then add a step and go from there. So we haven't done that yet.
So speaking of inspections, are they one of the most important things to your business?
They are the most important thing.
Got it.
Especially with predictive maintenance. If you don't inspect, you can't predict.
You know, we should do a show on predictive maintenance.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
All right. What do you think? All right. Okay, great. Now, customer retention. It's big today. What are you doing to retain customers?
Well, I'm a marketing guy, and I think there's two parts. I do what's called a marketing wheel.
Okay.
So the marketing wheel, if it's working right, rolls down the road at 60 miles an hour and everything works good. In order to be a good wheel, half the spokes at least have to be for customer retention, and the other half are for new customers. The more spokes you have, the more likely it is that you're going to roll along smoothly. So retaining customers, you know, 75 to 80% of my business every day is return customers. And that's what keeps us rolling. That's what keeps us steady. New customers are required because we lose customers. You know, they die, they move. And around here especially, used to be in the old days, 10%. If I could get 10% new customers all the time, I was golden. I would grow. Now the number's more like 20 because people change jobs, and if they're coming here because it's convenient for their job, they change jobs like they change underwear, and suddenly we aren't convenient anymore. So retention is really important.
And retention, is there any special hook to the customer, or is it just that the customer service culture is makes them want to come back?
Well, I think there's a couple things. Number one, we want them to believe and feel like we know them personally and we're serving them personally. So we try to address all our customers by first name. My shop manager has an incredible ability to never forget a name. In fact, don't tell him the name of your grandson's dog or he'll remember that.
Wow.
So he has a talent that is just incredible that way, which helps a lot. And he prompts me. He helps me because my memory isn't what it used to be.
Hey, Larry, so, here comes Bob in the door.
That's literally, or Bob will come in the door and he'll say, "Hi, Bob, how are you?" And then I go, "Oh, that's Bob." Okay, so that works.
That's your cue.
He's really good. The other thing we do is we do a monthly newsletter, a paper newsletter, help keep us top of mind. We want people to always be thinking about us. So it's a fun little newsletter. It's very little about there's no deals in it. There's no specials. I don't do discounts, by the way. I do no discount advertising. Everything we do is at the same good price for everybody. So we try to do it that way. We also do emails to remind people when it's time for their service. We do a postcard. We do a follow-up phone call. If we don't hear from them after we send them an email and a postcard, we call them. And Louie calls them personally, who is my top guy, and he calls them and says, "Hey, how you doing? How's the dog? How's whatever? By the way, did you happen to get that card that says you're due for service?" So we try to make it non-confrontive, but we also joke around at the front counter with new customers and tell them, "We're going to contact you. Oh, by the way, if we don't get a hold of you when we call, we're going to send a tow truck looking for your car." So they laugh about it, but what they get is that we're serious about getting the cars in for service.
Got it. You use social media at all? Facebook, Twitter?
We do. We work with Auto Vitals, and they take care of that for us. I tried doing that on my own, thinking I was a marketing guy, and quickly realized that there was more there than I could possibly deal with. So they take care of our Facebook for us. They take care of our website refreshing. They take care of doing videos for us. The things that they believe are important in order to use that media in a way that works for us.
Great. I've heard a lot of people talk great about Auto Vitals.
Yeah.
So technology, how do you see it impacting your business?
Boy. We're sitting here a block away from Google. And we watch out our front window and watch Google cars go by 10 times a day. I'm trying to get the contract so that when those Google cars know that they need to be taken care of, they just come here. And I think that's a long shot, but it really is what's happening with technology. It's changing we have to have a much higher level of technology in order to just fix the cars. But at some point, the cars aren't going to come to us because the owner sent them. They're going to come to us because they know it's time to come to us.
Perfect. So where is it that you want me to pull in? Make sure I have the GPS coordinates of Larry's Auto Works, and we're going for service.
Right. We're due. We're going in, and we're going to let them know we're coming.
All right. You've got
I know that's a long shot, but that's where it's headed.
You got a great crystal ball going there, and I guess it happens because you're within eyeshot of Google, and boy, that's like ground zero for technology.
Yeah, we see that self-driving, they go by all the time.
Do you have any special events where you bring customers into your shop?
We have not done it in the last couple of years, but we are going to. In fact, I've got one in my head that I want to do in the future, and I'm looking forward to it. On our 45th anniversary, I want to do a big garage band contest and have all the local garage bands come in and play in our garage.
What a great idea.
And have the community out and vote for the best garage band.
I love it. I just love it. What a great idea. Boy, if that's something that our listeners can't take away, then this episode wasn't worth it. Wonderful idea. Garage bands in the garage. Woo! I'm sorry. I'm having a moment. That is so cool. So you belong to ASCCA and ASA. What's so good about belonging to an association like that?
Well, I have to honestly say that probably without ASCCA, Automotive Service Councils of California, I probably wouldn't have survived in the business.
And how's that?
Because I met other people. You know, I think a lot of us as shop owners are in somewhat anarchists. We kind of do it because we don't socialize. We have our own business. We don't fit well in a shop, so we have to have our own shop. So there tends to be the what tends to happen is I, like other people, I thought, okay, I'm doing really good because I have some secret that other people don't know, and that's why I'm doing good. Well, once I got together with the shop owners, I found out, you know what? There's no secrets. It's all the same thing. And by the way, this guy has an answer to my problems that I didn't think I had an answer for. So I look forward to our monthly meetings. I go to a monthly ASC meeting, and we sit down and talk. And I'll say, hey, I got this problem. And they go, oh, you know what? How about this? So I really find it to be something that I don't believe I can do without. I don't know how shop owners do without it.
Yeah, you know, people tell me it goes way beyond the agenda, and it just becomes that networking thing.
It's all about networking for me.
Well, that's wonderful. And, you know, really what we're trying to do with the podcast is simply take those side discussions and put them out there for the world to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great thing.
And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being on. And I learned a lot. You're a passionate guy, 45 years almost in business.
Yeah.
Give me some great Larry Moore words to live by.
I guess for me, and right now where I am, I have to always remember that it's always perfect. It really is. And it's up to me to figure out why it's perfect, even if I don't like it right now. And, you know, a lot of times things that are going on in my life today, I'm uncomfortable with, or I'm not liking them, or I get frustrated with, but usually looking back, I look at it and go, you know what? I learned something there. That was good. So I have to remind myself of that every day. Life at my age, I've decided it's got to be fun or at least somewhat enjoyable, or I don't want to do it. And so for me, that's sort of my mantra right now. It's always perfect. I just don't get to know until later why.
A wise man told me once, if it's not fun, it's not going to last.
That's right. I agree. And if it's not a habit, it's not going to last.
That's true, too. Larry Moore from Larry's Auto Works in Mountain View, California. Thanks so much for your very special episode.
Well, thank you. It was great talking with you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.